What led you to law school?
I can't remember.
Sure you can, counselor.
I was a delivery boy for a pizza parlor, and one day the owner got a notice from the IRS. He was an immigrant. Didn't know much English, even less about withholding tax, and he went bankrupt, lost his store. It was the first time I thought of being a lawyer.
In other words, you're an idealist.
I don't know any tax lawyer who's an idealist. When he lost his store, I lost my job. That scared me.
Being out of work?
No. What the government can do to anybody.
This is Ed Hoffman, and welcome to the main event. Yeah, I open up with that scene from the movie The Firm. You know what? It scared me. About losing your job? No, about what the government can do to anyone. We're seeing that right now, folks. We're seeing it really clear what the government can do to anyone if they're left unchecked. And thank you to our media and social media and the big tech and some spineless Republicans that allowed it to happen. We are seeing what the government can do to everyone, and they're doing to everyone. It is scary. If you know about all the squelching on social media, and now the squelching of people doing online trades with the GameStop. Have you heard about that? I won't go into that today because we got a lot to cover. That song was The Point of No Return from Kansas, 1978, if I have to guess at it. And you know, how long till the point of no return? I asked that question as I see Biden just continuously just sign executive orders to just cancel out things that are good for our country, good for our world. And one by one, he keeps just pushing us off a cliff. And I asked myself, how long to the point of no return? And it is scary out there. We got a lot to cover. I mean, here's something that really makes you wonder about it takes all the wonder out of the COVID thing and whether it was political or not. When you hear Andrew Cuomo being asked why they underreported the deaths in nursing homes, and he says, "Well, old people die." Damn, I thought that was me saying, hey, you know what, when you're over 85 years old, average lifespan in this country is 78, and the majority of people that have died of COVID are in their 80s. So I don't know, maybe it's just me. I hate to say that I'm a seer of the future, but you know, Brooke, my production assistant, that we call you Brooke. So Brooke found a tweet that I tweeted out 2 weeks before Trump elected. Trump tweeted out, "The Constitution is the guide which I will never abandon." And that's a quote from George Washington. The next day, I retweeted it and said, "If people would take this man seriously, they would see jobs created, wealth built, and freedom preserved. Hashtag Donald Trump." That was June 2nd, 2015, when I sent out that. I'm so proud of myself. So proud of myself for having that foresight. And, you know, it's just like, hey, you know what? We're you have a businessman run the country, and that's how the country runs, is business. And you know what? And when I saw the people, the stats on people dying of COVID, I said, hey, you know what? Average lifespan 78. Seems like everybody's over 78 that's dying of this thing. I don't think this is something new. Hey, anyway, we got a lot to cover this show. And so I'm going to get on with introducing myself. For those that don't know me, my name's Ed Hoffman from Summit Funding. If you're interested in getting involved in any of the fantastic opportunities that are real estate, whether you want to buy a property that you would like to own, or if you want to refinance a property already owned, or if you want to look into one of those reverse mortgage things for those of you that are over 62, call me toll free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020, day or night, toll free area code 855-640-2020. If you want to get in touch with me, but you don't want to talk on the phone just yet, go to edhoffman.net, edhoffman.net. Click on the Summit Funding logo and it'll take you to my lending page. Fill out as much information as you want me to have. Tell me how much information you want back. You'll hear from me or one of my talented teammates. If you want to hear any part repeated, also on edhoffman.net, go to the podcast page. You can hear this show as well, several past shows, and you can also get the podcast on SoundCloud or iTunes, where you can subscribe for free and have it download once a week to your device. Follow me on Twitter, Ed Hoffman, where I tweet about current events all week long. And follow me on the Facebook page for the show is facebook.com/themainevent, Ed Hoffman. And all the other ones, my handle on the other ones is Big Ed Hoffman, but I was actually getting pretty steady on Parler before they took it off. I'm sure it'll come back on somebody else's servers. If you want to comment on the show, email me at ed@edhoffman.net. Okay, so today also joining me on the show, as he did last week and many weeks, is Mr. Scott McAfee, proprietor of Don's Bikes in Rialto and Redlands. Scotty, welcome back.
Yo, Ed, it's great to be back in the house, man.
Okay, after everything we've been through these past few weeks, I think we could all use a treat. So joining us for the rest of the show is the one and only Katie Hopkins. She's actually in D.C. on January 6th at the inauguration, so she's going to share some of what she saw with us. Katie, welcome back to the main event.
Thank you much for having me back. And yes, now I am in the UK and in England, where things are locked down more tightly than I've ever known them before.
Really? Worse? Yeah. How, you want to describe some of that so we can compare to what's happening here?
Yes, exactly. Because I know, you know, there's a sense we've all been through lockdown. Many Californians, you know, are still restricted, although I hear indoor dining is opening up here in the UK, and I'm not exaggerating. It is illegal to leave your home. It is illegal to leave your home in the UK. You are allowed to go out for groceries once a week. You have to stay within a 7-mile radius. If you're caught out and about, it's a £200 fine. And as an example of how draconian they're being, two young lads organized a snowball fight the other day when we had snow. They've both been fined £10,000 each for telling their mates to come out and throw snowballs. We just had a man hauled off the streets for not having his mask on properly and thrown in the back of a police wagon. So very draconian, very dark. We're not allowed to fly anywhere. We're not allowed to travel anywhere. We're essentially not allowed to do anything, and there's no end in sight.
So how do the people in England take that?
I know, you'd wish, right? You'd wish for the sort of Texan attitude or the South Dakotan attitude, but I can't find it here. One good thing I would say is, without an end point, people are starting to rage a little. And finally, you know, more people are coming towards this sense of this is now utterly ridiculous. The level of suicides here is skyrocketing, but no one will talk about it. All the mental health influences seem to have disappeared. And of course, all of our small businesses are utterly wrecked. So it's very tragic to see. And the only thing I feel is that there is a real difference between in the very rich areas where people are very compliant, in the working class areas, people are just hustling because they need to try and keep their homes or their kids fed.
Amazing. I can't even imagine it getting to that point here without us all rising up and just saying, screw you, which is basically what California is at with Gavin Newsom. And I think Newsom loosened up because he knows he's about to get kicked out.
So do I. I totally agree with you.
So give us your take on the election steal and what you saw in the Capitol on January 6th.
Yeah, so I went in there on the 6th. I was supposed to be in there on the 5th, but I was held by Homeland Security for a wee while. So I got there just as the curfew was brought in. And you know what? The next morning, so 6 o'clock the next morning, I was at the Lincoln Memorial. So the day after the MAGA rally, the day after the Capitol Hill incident slash riot. And the gentleman there had been at the MAGA rally the day before. And he said, you know what, Katie, I didn't even know there had been anything going on at Capitol Hill. And I heard this over and over again, 600,000, however many people went, did a MAGA rally on the Mall, and it was brilliant and peaceful and all the things anyone who's ever been to one will know. Many of those individuals, it wasn't until they went home to their hotel rooms or got some Wi-Fi on their phones, did they see what had gone on in the Capitol building. It was like two separate events. But very briefly, if I may, and then we can carry along. I'll be short in this answer. But the DC itself, when it was a militarized zone, I think I was the only sole female in the whole of DC. It was completely locked down, as you say, 25,000 National Guards. A lot of them were staying in my hotel, which was utterly brilliant because I love a man in uniform. They were in the elevator with me in the morning with their riot shields, and I'm dressed like a silly, crazy vegan runner, and they're there with their riot shields. And they were just charming, just delightful. DC has never been as safe, never been as deserted, utterly weird, and absolutely no one there at all for the Biden inauguration. It was completely numb. I was there, I felt nothing. I saw nothing. You couldn't feel anything because there was no humans there. And without humans, there's no emotion. And without emotion, you feel nothing.
Well, that's basically a description of Joe Biden, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. You know, we felt nothing during his campaign. We saw nothing during his campaign. And his inauguration was exactly the same. It was a made-for-TV inauguration. You know, the flags on the Mall, the lights, you know, all made for TV, nothing for the people. And of course, there's a lot of truth in that, isn't there? Because if, for example, you aren't there by the will of the people, then why would people be there when you are inaugurated, or as I would like to say, installed? And it wasn't until the next day after the inauguration, when all the barriers came down, all the concrete bollards, all of the sort of theatrical stage came down, the most people I saw were people on the Mall coming to get a free flag. That was when I saw probably 40, 50 people. And that was the most I saw for 2 weeks in DC.
So, you know, Katie, I want to just chime in here real quick. The last time you were on with us, I asked you a question. It was your final question. I said, Katie, I want you to predict what's going to happen in November. And what you said was you predicted the American people would rise up and give Donald Trump a second term. And that's exactly what happened. We gave Donald Trump a second term. And then we watched that election, Katie. We watched Donald Trump have a commanding lead in all those swing states right around 10 o'clock at night. And then something happened. Something happened in those swing states where they stopped the counting from, like, I don't know, 10 till 2. And when 2 o'clock hit, what do you know? Joe Biden was suddenly in the lead. So kind of picking up where we left off, what the hell do you make of this? I mean, we've seen what happened. This is like the biggest con job in world history, I think, is what we just witnessed. But certainly I want to get your take on this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I sat here because I left the day before the election because I didn't know where to spend it. I felt sick. I didn't know what to do. I knew I had to go home eventually. I was in the UK. So I was sat up watching through the night because obviously I'm 5 hours later than Eastern time. And I saw what you guys saw. I saw Trump winning and then I saw him be construed to lose. And it was heartbreaking. And I think one of the things we've just seen happened with the whole GameStop and, you know, the Robin Hood closing down the stock market so that shares could also be controlled. You know, people are piecing this stuff together now. If you can control the narrative, you can control this. If you can control an election, you can control the stock market. In fact, what do we control? Realizing that the ordinary man, the average American, has very little control. And so that was very hard. It's disheartening. But I think people waking up to it is very heartening. And I think the research, I already feel it, I'm sure you do too, the resurgence of America First and what the evolution is going to look like of that very powerful movement, I think is going to be a terrific thing. And I've spent some time when I was in DC with Louis Gohmert, with Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, Matty Gaetz. And it's exciting stuff to be around those people.
Yeah, it is. I've met most of those guys. I haven't met Matt Gaetz yet, but I haven't met Marjorie Taylor Greene. But Louis Gohmert, and I've been around a lot of the people over there, and it's exciting with the people that are on the inside because they just have a little different take. Even if they don't have the same take as me, it's exciting to hear what they see. Most people don't have the, most people. Well, I say most people do have the take, same take as me, but most people on TV aren't those people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, ultimately, because of the election fraud, as I see it, and then we see things like, you know, the trading fraud going on, we can start to feel powerless. But then I think we can turn 90 degrees and see Matty Gaetz in Cheney's territory, Wyoming, and the crowd supporting him. We can see against these Republican traitors already, people are working out who's going to contest them in the primaries. You know, this sense that these 15 need to be removed in order that the Republican Party can move forward. And for me, that's where grassroots really do have power. They have the power to ensure there is someone to run against the treacherous Republicans. You know, we can make sure that the Republican incumbents never, ever get to be in power ever again. And so these are exciting times. And I think if we can get the recall Gavin Newsom thing going and get that through, that would be such an uplifting moment for people to feel that they have some power again.
So you're jumping around on my list of things I was going to talk to you about, but you you mentioned the 15 people, Republicans, that need to be kicked out. Expand on that now, since we're there. We'll just move that question up a little bit.
Yeah. So if you think about so Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Ben Sasse, Pat Toomey, they all voted with the Democrats, as you know. Then the list of 10. That voted for the impeachment proceedings to begin, which was Cheney, would be an obvious one, Rice, Newhouse. And all of these guys, all of those 10, well, sorry, 8 of the 10 came from areas that were majority Trump supporting areas. One of them was 50-50 and one of them was a Biden area. But 8 of those Republicans are supposed to represent Trump supporting areas. And if I may draw a quick parallel, we had the same thing happen in the UK. We had members of parliament, so our representatives, who were from Brexit supporting areas. But when they went into parliament, they voted for Remain because they thought it was better for the people. And I think that's where this disconnect happens, where you have people who are supposed to represent you who aren't representing you. You know, how is that the will of the people? And I think it is. I think it is a moment, really. These next 2 years are all about people taking power back in every single way they can, at every single level, whether that's school boards, whether that's district councils, wherever there is power to take, Republicans or America First need to be grabbing at those positions.
So how do you see us making the changes that we need to make so our votes even count when Democrats have control of everything?
It feels like Democrats have control of everything, and I completely understand that. But there is still there's such a difference between the two sides still. You know, if you think about Biden's first few days in office, all he's done is take down, isn't it? He's taken down, he's ripped up, he's destroyed, pull down the border wall, rip up the Keystone Pipeline, take down America energy independence, sign up to the Paris Climate Accord, which is actually just a massive wealth redistribution scheme, you know, put in a whole load of people into a cabinet that make no sense whatsoever, insert a transvestite in order that men can now go into women's cubicles. I mean, if you think about a list of travesties against America, he's pretty much hitting them all as we go about the starting of this presidency. Many people, as they say, are shuffling around looking for the receipt to see if they can take back Biden. So I think in many ways, American people have got two roles to play. One is to sit back and watch Biden fail spectacularly before he hands the baton to Kamala. And the second thing is this being involved, making sure the people representing you are representing you faithfully. And that's where these duplicitous Republicans clearly have failed.
Yeah, it's scary. It's scary as to I think about, hey, when it's, you see everything he does is so obviously against America. I mean, destroying jobs, destroying our energy independence, destroying where our money goes, destroying our, turning all this climate crap on, turning on Hey, it was so immoral for us to not be paying for abortions in other countries, all this stuff. At what point do they say, hey, I don't care what the normal rules are and what the normal routine is, the normal procedure. This justifies a new something new. Hey, we've never seen this before. This has to be turned around.
I think also, you know, we're not stupid on our side, or at least a good majority of us are not stupid. So, you know, I've witnessed in this last week, well, less time than that, I expect, the way that the media and FBI and the powerful and the controlling elite are attacking our side. So, for example, you know, my phone was going crazy because Brandon Straka, the leader of the Walkaway movement, as you'll be aware, was arrested and held, and actually held in prison for a period with a charge sheet that makes no sense whatsoever. I have it here, but it's, you know, the United States of America versus Brandon Strack. And anybody that knows Brandon Strack or knows the Walkaway movement would know that there's no one who's least against or versus America than Brandon Strack. And secondly, if you want to draw me a picture of a national or domestic terrorist, it certainly doesn't look like a super camp gay guy who looks after his eyebrows more than I looked after my own pet dog, dresses in sequins and lame for a living. So that's one example. Second up, Proud Boys. I don't really care what people's opinion of the Proud Boys is, but they went for that their leadership as well, saying that he was an FBI informant, Enrique Tarrant. So you can see what they're trying to do. You know, our side is stronger when we're together. There are groups that keep us together, and they go straight for the leadership of those groups to send a message, very much like the UK send a message via me, you know, by crucifying me. You don't want to be like her. Keep your head down. Shut up. Say nothing. Don't be part of this. That's why they've gone for the leadership of Walkaway. They've gone for the leadership of Proud Boys. And of course, they'll go for anybody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who puts her head above the parapet. They're determined to remove that woman from Congress. And I think they could well be successful.
In removing her from Congress?
Yeah.
Is Brandon Strzok still in jail, Katie, as far as you know?
No. I know for certain from his closest that he is out. His lawyer went to court, managed to get a whatever the judgment was, it was that he would be allowed to be out of prison and return to his home. So he now is in his home, and there will be time when his charge is brought against him and his case is heard. There's three charges against him, essentially involving and around, and I don't want to misquote, but involving incitement or being where he shouldn't, effectively, and that case will be heard. I often think about, you know, in truth, there's two sides to us, isn't there? There's a front-facing side, the side that's on a stage, the side that's in front of a 1,000-strong crowd, the side that is a cheerleader. And then there's a side of us, I'm talking about myself here a little bit, I suppose, that is a private person who has, you know, family or whatever, and hurts like a private person. And my sense is always that they push you in the hope that you'll swing from a tree. You know, and somebody like Brandon Strack, who's lovely, sweet, the kindest soul. I mean, how does one endure this kind of stuff, really? So that's my fear, is how much pressure can one person take? The only good thing is he's got a lot of great people around him. I know we won't all abandon him, but yeah, I think he's, these people is
but
very
he,
cool.
But he keeps everybody together through the through the Walkaway the Walkaway campaign. And if they cancel that all off the social media, he's not going to have any way to communicate and gather support. So it's going to be harder and harder. It's really sad, and we're watching this happen. And I see people just to think that none of this crap affects their life. Hey, but anyway, we're gonna keep that thought. We're gonna take a break here for 5 minutes of traffic, weather, commercial, and sports, and we're gonna have you back for the rest of the second half, Katie. Everyone, we'll be right back with part two of the main event. Welcome back to the main event. My name is Ed Hoffman. With Summit Funding, I don't talk a lot about real estate and financing on the air because it's probably boring to you unless you're in the market. And some of you probably don't even know you're in the market. But if you're wondering, if you think you are or you think you might be, call me toll free at 855-640-2020. That's 855-640-2020. And you'll talk to somebody that thinks like you, or go to edhoffman.net, click on the Summit Funding logo. Hey, so with me today on the show is Scott McAfee, my sidekick, owner of Don's Bikes in Rialto and Redlands. Scotty.
Yo, Ed.
And our favorite guest back on our show for the third time, Katie Hopkins from across the pond.
I am right here. Do you call all your guests your favorite guests?
Absolutely not. Suspicious.
I hope not. Nope.
Absolutely
not. Katie, you are, in fact, you are the favorite of all time. Nobody's better than you. Needy. And I sincerely mean that. Nobody's better.
Yeah, you are the most entertaining, the most insightful, and you know what? You make us all think about I hadn't thought things that way.
Oh, bless you.
You also have that very cool British accent, which makes anybody an expert on anything if they can talk like that.
Yes, you know, it gets me out of a lot of trouble in the States. And when I really, really want something or I've done something naughty, then I definitely get more British in order to get my own way.
And it works like, every time.
Yes. Kind of like how Kamala Harris and Hillary Clinton do when they're talking to a black crowd, they get more black in their voice.
Yes, like Meghan Markle. You know, when she needed an acting job, she was down as being white, and now, of course, she's more black than the blackest person we might know. Yeah, so like that, yes, but better.
Exactly. Right. Jump in, Scotty.
Okay, so when
Take
we
that
left
jump
off,
in, Scotty, out.
We talked about the arrest of Brandon Straka, and this is one of the things that I'm concerned about. As I shared with you, Katie, off the air, I didn't go to the DC rally I would have, but I got COVID, which was very inconvenient. Some people have told me, that was probably a blessing in disguise because I would probably be on FBI watch list right now. Maybe I'd be in prison. I don't know, but we're seeing this acceleration of arresting people. It reminds me kind of the old Soviet Union, right? Where you take away and you lock up people that don't believe or think the way that you do. You know, what are we going towards some kind of police state here? What the hell's going on?
Yeah, so strange to see all of the arrests. So strange to be going around DC just in the days before the election and these on all of the, do you call bus stops, bus stops? What do Americans call bus stops?
My garage, I just get in the car and go.
What do you call it in public where you catch a bus?
A bus stop.
Thank you, yeah. Dear. Right. So at the bus stops, in the illuminated bus stops, there's all of the mugshots, if you will. So already sort of the presumption of guilt, because mugshots are guilty of people that the FBI wanted. So you've got this wanted list all over the place on the sidewalks. And our great friend, you'll know, I'm sure your listeners will have heard of Dr. Simone Gold, one of the fantastic doctors speaking out against the COVID madness, as she was had her image up as one of the FBI wanted. Dr. Simone Gold, who has so many degrees, so many qualifications, is an expert in so many things, and she was arrested at her home by the FBI. And I think what Scott and I probably would agree on, and I'll speak for myself here, is that if you've ever been to a riot, I've been to lots of these sort of riots, there's a moment where adrenaline kicks in, where you want to be a part of the action so you can see it, you can document it, you can write about it, you can be on radio and talk about it authentically. It is very probable, had I been anywhere near the Capitol Hill, I would have gone in to try to capture what was going on. And then presumably I would be banned from the United States at this point. And I will say as well, the next day, when I was in front of the Capitol building recording some material content, a man dressed in the kind of outfit I know as being plain clothes FBI outfits, they have a certain outfit they all wear, even though they think they're being, shady, came up and took a picture of me and a picture of my face and then disappeared into the shadows. So at that point, obviously, they were still identifying people and trying to capture faces. And certainly this idea that we are being arrested for thought now in America, it spread over across the pond, as I always feared that it would. You know, certainly we already have that here in the UK. It's made its way to America faster than I ever feared.
Well, it's kind of funny. Ed and I were talking off the air about how we thought the UK was maybe 10 years ahead of us as far as this left socialist. But I think we're catching up to you pretty damn quick, Katie.
Yeah, that's such the truth of it, isn't it? And I think that's where, you know, all of these last sort of 15 years being in America saying, don't become like us, don't fall like we have fallen. You know, there's part of me now that's like, hold on a minute, America just fell. So how do we go to bringing ourselves back? You know, one of the things we can always, always come back to, and it's why I have faith still. I mean, goodness only knows how, but still have faith, because one of the things our enemies, if we label them as that, are powerless over us when we work together. And our side, as much as we can be a bit fractious and a bit egotistical, when we're together, like in these groups, we are really hard to divide. We're very united, 80 million Americans or so. And I think that's one of the great things why people now need to hold on to faith and family is, you know, we know that that's what the socialists want to rip apart. They want to make it so it's no longer a mum and dad, that two mums is as well, that faith doesn't matter anymore, that Jesus isn't someone to follow. And it's, of course, the more we return to faith and family, the more we get back to a hold of things that can keep us together. And that's what we need right now. Not this mythical Biden unity. That's unity masquerading as division, or division masquerading as unity. Sorry. What we need is togetherness, and that's a very different thing.
Yeah, I want to mention a couple of things that you said about Washington, D.C. So my contention is that, you know, million people there, 600,000 or however many people was, most of them were freedom loving patriots. And that was the lion's share of the, yes, of the people there. And that, a small portion of them were Antifa guys that were sent in there to create chaos. And we all got, you know, some of the patriots, for instance, the girl from San Diego that got killed, was, they got caught up in the frenzy and, you know, went in maybe not to create havoc, but hey, everyone's going in. So you're saying I'm right.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely dead on the money. And I know people at home will say, well, it was a terrible thing to do. Oh, that doesn't represent us. And oh, how disrespectful, as if you would go into the Capitol building. You know, I can promise people, when you're there amongst your team, it feels like, and there's adrenaline and there's energy and there's a moment where maybe a crowd of people are going on in and 100 people are walking up the stairs, it's probable you might go up those stairs as well, because sensible you doesn't kick in. You're part of this thing. And if I can as well, just give some sort of sense of context. DC at this point is like -2 degrees. I'm British and I was freezing my bottom off there. I made that language better. I was freezing, and the DC had shut everything, shut every bar, every restaurant, every cafe. There were no bathrooms. So anybody that came in, 600,000, let's say Americans who flew in, there was nowhere for them to go. Now, I'm not saying that means, therefore, you go into the Capitol building. I'm just saying that in a city where it is barren and there is nothing else going on, you may well channel your energy to places that you otherwise may not have done. And I saw that when I got to DC, outside the hotels and the hotel I was staying in, which was a dodgy hotel in Chinatown, a big crowd of Trump supporters outside because they had nowhere to go. And the police were even trying to usher them into the foyer of the hotel to get them off the sidewalk. So that was when the frustration was really building in DC. I was slightly concerned that things were going to kick off outside my hotel.
Yeah, Scott and I and our wives were there at the inauguration 4 years ago. And Don and I were talking about this and said, you know what, if we were there, you know, you had these borders where you had these posts and this kind of cloth-like barrier that went up to it. And I saw a video of them, somebody tore it off and he just pump, 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 pulled away from the poles. I said, if we were there, we're not gonna push down the wall and go over it. But if we were in the big crowd and all of a sudden they pulled it down and there was a big area you can get closer to the Capitol, would we have gone with the crowd? Of course we would have. And
yeah,
it doesn't make us radicals. It's just, hey, we were there for the inauguration and everybody's doing it and we're going with them.
Absolutely. And I can say, absolutely, I went on the Pussy Marches the day after that inauguration as well. I was with the rioters who burnt the vehicles, who were attacking the police, who were protesting the presidency. I was there to watch them, to witness, to take pictures and videos. If they had at some point rounded up all of those rioters, I would have been absolutely in and amongst them. Even as a Trump supporter of the president, I was with the rioters because I wanted to see what was going on.
Hey, we were there, Scott. We didn't. I don't remember seeing Katie.
You were with the marchers. They were just darling. I didn't mind them at all.
I thought a couple of them were a little on the weird side.
Yeah, they were a little on the weird side and their signs were quite vulgar. But what I would say is, if you could pick DC 4 years ago with the Trump victory and the Pussy Marches the next day, the Trump haters, or DC with a Biden inauguration, you're going to pick the Trump inauguration every time. And I don't mean that from the point of view of we got our man in. I mean that there were both sides there. Everybody was energetic and expressing themselves. And the energy of that city was huge. You know, there was something terrific about it in the truest sense of the word terrific. There is nothing terrific about that Biden inauguration. And in fact, one of the things I've been showing on my Instagram and YouTube and other places is the lying and duplicitous media who were positioning themselves, as you boys will know well how it works, positioning themselves, because there was nothing to report, positioning themselves in front of the National Guard when they got out with their weapons, or positioning themselves, you know, the setup with the lights and the camera in front of the military vehicles, and then would put on this sort of face of concern and this voice that suggested, you know, they were literally in a war zone under fire. And the person in the studio would be like, thank you so much, Brian, for being there and taking the risk. And then I would just pan around and show that they were literally stood outside, you know, the Hyatt Hotel. But it was just that they would give this impression that it was the war zone. But really, you know, it's just an absolute con. And the media were absolutely, you know, complicit in the con was the Biden inauguration.
As they were with the whole election. Hey, let's talk about what we've seen so far from Joe Biden. We're up to about 40 executive orders, despite what Biden said about the executive orders back in October with George Stephanopoulos.
Right. And isn't it, you know, and I'm reminded, it's, you know, tragic. It's not really laughable. My grandfather, you know, when he used to sign bits of paper or forms in his care home, he used to write in that manner. And that's all I could think of when I saw Biden signing the executive order, which took him like 100 years to sign one damn bit of paper.
And they had to look at his notes to see what it meant and if he was supposed to say anything.
Right. And there's even sort of from a sort of an emotional point of view, when Trump used to sign executive orders, right, he got his bloody great big marker, sorry, language, and he'd be like, blah, 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 and you knew this was like, right, this is happening. Biden does it like a tentative man who's not sure what he's signing, and yet he's signing away the rights, the life, the liberties of Americans. It's utterly weird to watch. And I have to say, I think the real darkness behind this is Jill Biden. I really do. People think Melania was tough and a tough ass, you know, all of that. I think Jill Biden is probably one of the most sinister women in America to do this to her husband and to be willing to go through this in order to get to power. I think she's really sinister.
Yeah, so Joe Biden said to George Stephanopoulos that people that use executive's orders would be dictators. Let me play this clip of Jen Psaki, the new press secretary, who sounds like a drink at Benihana's, being asked to answer for all the executive orders.
Good.
You said earlier that some of these executive orders were being used to roll back some of the immoral things that the previous administration had done. If you're calling these things immoral, is that seeking consensus and unity? And then also, I mean, does it suggest that President Biden sees himself as perhaps a benevolent dictator?
Well, Rob, I'm sure this wasn't your intention, but I think you took the president's comments a bit out of context. He was asked about tax reform, and whether that could be done via executive order during the interview with George Stephanopoulos, which you're referring to.
I think the question
is pretty important context for everybody. And he said no. And the president also said during an interview with columnists back in December that he didn't think executive action should be used for everything. And that certainly is his point of view. But there are steps, including overturning some of the harmful, detrimental, and yes, immoral actions of the prior administration that he felt he could not wait to overturn.
I personally angered by listening to her talk about things being immoral that Donald Trump did when I see how much good it did for America. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've got a good spider sense developed over many years of being married multiple times and dealing with many, many women. And I don't get a good sense from that woman at all. I mean, not only is she not of the caliber of Kayleigh McEnany, she certainly isn't as easy on the eye. She's far too ginger, and I am definitely gingerist. And also, she does appear to me to be some sort of chatbot running on sort of, you know, AI. I'm not sure she hasn't been entirely fabricated by Zuckerberg, and he just put some sort of AI robot chatbot in a ginger wig. So that's my sense of her at the moment. So no, she's not my favorite person.
And what's your sense of all these executive orders and what Biden's doing to our country?
I think he knows that very soon things are going to get fractured very fast. And what he needs to do is try and look like he did something quickly. So this is his kind of plan, in order that from now on in, they can stick him back in the basement in his double incontinent underwear on some sort of waterproof flooring, wait to hand over the baton to Kamala Harris. I could never be so black, Indian, African American. I represent all sisters everywhere. And we'll have to watch her gurning at the camera in her pearls and purple for the next two darn years. And I think we may never see Biden again. But certainly these executive orders are a load of old nonsense. And you can see him, he's just trying to infuriate the Trump base. And I believe that the more that we rise above this, see this as the nonsense of a foolish old man, and let the economy speak for itself, as it surely will. And I understand it already is. I understand that the price of oil and gas is already going up, and people are feeling the pain already, particularly families who were working on the Keystone Pipeline.
Hey, for those of you listening, make sure you rewind that and listen to that comment from Katie Beck. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of things you couldn't register in your brain fast enough. And I'm listening to it. That was beautiful. Yeah, I would say that we're seeing the price of gas go up already. And I see some interviews with some people that are working on the XL pipeline that are just okay. Well, you know, I saw one guy. He says, you know, I'm from a rural part of Arkansas, and if you're not a farmer, then there's no opportunity there. And I made this change in my life to help my family. And what do I do now?
Oh my goodness. I mean, that's the stuff we need to hear on the media. That's where the media should be, listening to those families, listening to hardworking men and women who put their faith in, you know, working hard to do the best they can to make their family the best it can be. You know, these are the people Biden are hurting. This is the truth of America. And these are the stories that's like being, I was in an Uber car the other day, and an Uber driver got in. It makes me upset just talking about it. I got in the car, and the lady who was driving burst into tears because she was taking me to the airport, and it was the first decent ride she'd had all day. And because of all of the lockdowns, she can't afford to keep her apartment, and she's got a child. I mean, this is the reality of all this stuff. And politicians like the Democrats feel so far removed from ordinary Americans. You know, there is an emotional avalanche that is perched at the top of the mountain, and it's about to come crashing down one of these fine days. I can feel it. You know, my heart can feel it.
Yeah, I've mentioned that. That's America, not the people that get paid for being pretty or being 7 feet, 6 inches tall and can reach up to the top of a 10-foot basket. And the real people, the Uber drivers, the oil workers, the everyday guys like Scott and I that built up our businesses a little piece at a time and taking risk and putting out our own money. And that's what is America's about. Biden's people have been very intentional about changing racial equality to racial equity. What's your take on that?
Oh, isn't it exhausting, this constant, you know, sort of pernickety approach to language, you know, racial equality. What is he changing it to? He's changing it to and making it more equitable, correct?
Well, they just changed the phrase from racial equality to racial equity. Does that mean, you know, they get to claim a piece of the equity that I have because I'm not the same color as them? And so, hey, I'm going to assign a piece of my equity that I've built because it's not fair that they didn't get it because our skin colors are different. Because as I see it, life is hard for everybody. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. And I had to go through all the same crap that they do in life.
Yes. Except
for I didn't have anything to blame it on.
Yes. No, I agree with you, Jelly. My brain was kind of trying to do the maths on this one pretty quickly because so speaking as roughly a female, you know, I always say, I don't want equal treatment. I want equitable treatment because I don't want any special favors. I never want someone to employ me because I was a woman. You know, I want to be recruited on merit, paid on performance, rewarded on results. That to me is equitable treatment and not equal treatment, where you have to be equal because you're a woman. You must be paid the same as this man. I don't believe that at all. I think what the Democrats have done here is they've tried to spin that. So they're trying to say that for Black or minority ethnic individuals, it's not good enough anymore to wish that they had the same treatment as maybe a white person. Now they need to have something. This is almost the Orwellian thing. They're going to go for some are more equal than others. And instead of using the expression more equal, they've hidden it in equitable. Because equitable in its truest economic sense means absolute fairness. But they aren't looking for absolute fairness. They're looking to redefine that and make Black people more equal than whites. And of course, we feel that every damn day. Try being a white man in America. Try being a white man in Britain. You have zero chance of being employed at anything.
Yeah, I'm feeling that. Scotty?
So, you know, I obviously don't want to leave on a bummer note. I know when I was sitting around with COVID for about 2 to 3 weeks, you know, my brain, I got plenty of time to think, right? And I'm thinking, I don't want to be depressed and sick at the same time. I'd rather be one or the other. And Katie, like you, I'm an upbeat, happy person. I mean, yeah. You know, no matter what goes on, I try and, you know, maintain a positive outlook. I'm grateful for so many things, but I guess question would be, how do we stay positive? And what do we do from here? I mean, kind of a two-part question. How do we stay positive? And what do we, as concrete as you can get, what are we supposed to do going forward?
Yes. So I think two separate things. I think I might address them in reverse formation. What are we supposed to do right now? Number one, the thing we must do is be very, very critical and questioning of everything we're told. That sounds like a very obvious thing. But the minute you're told something by the media, question it. Doesn't matter if you come around to agreeing with it, I'm not trying to challenge everything. Question, question, question everything. Number two, make sure you belong. Togetherness is everything. Belong to something, get involved with something. And number three, this is time to try. And when you feel the most powerless, is time to take power. You know, grassroots conservatives are now wholly accountable for making sure the duplicitous Republicans never see political power again. Grassroots Republicans, conservatives, whatever, Trumpers, MAGAs, are responsible for supporting candidates to challenge those Republican incumbents in the primary. And then I think grassroots conservatives are going to be also accountable for enjoying the moment that you see those who've threatened democracy and the republic thrown to the political scrap heap of history where they belong. So that's the thing you need to do, is get involved somewhere, get someone. If you don't want to stand, find someone who does, support them. It doesn't have to be financially. Start doing deep dive, door stopping now to get our people in. And in terms of finding the fun, you know, I truly believe that, and it might be from my military heritage, that when we hit real adversity is when the best of us shine. And I'm already seeing it. You know, our side has always been the side of joy and light. And I think what this is going to do is push more of us together and for our side to actually be stronger than ever before. And by trying to find ways to laugh at the madness, I think that's how we stay sane. And that's why a lot of the material I do now, it's not dark political stuff. It's about mocking the hypocrisy, finding the humour in the madness. And I think that's a lot of what you try to do as well, Scott. And it's why we're trying to push, I think you are, I am, for some sort of laughter tour. It's time that we moved on from maybe the MAGA rally for a bit to just bringing the fun to our team. And that's something I definitely want to do in 2021.
Well said,
Ed. As do we. Hey, we're out of time for this episode of The Main Event. Katie, we love having you on, and we will have you on as often as you will give us the time.
Thank you. Thank you, boys. I appreciate your time, and thank you to your lovely listeners.
Thank you. Thank you. And everyone, thanks for listening to The Main Event. My name's Ed Hoffman, and I'll be back again with you next week.
The opinions expressed do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Summit Funding Incorporated. Ed Hoffman, NMLS ID number 9921, California DRE ID number 1012658, Arizona MLO license number 0926439, branch NMLS ID number 1841782, Summit Funding Incorporated, NMLS ID number 3199, Arizona license number 0925837, equal housing opportunity.